RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tough start to the trip for the Sabres last night in Philadelphia. The good news is no more Eastern Conference teams on the remainder of it. It was challenging, to say the least, in Philly. But, like, for maybe shorter moments of time as opposed to the entirety of the game, but those shorter moments absolutely derailed the potential, you know, quest for victory.
It didn't start good at
there?
All. And you, some, I'm there.
It's like you were in a trance. And I wasn't even saying anything relevant or important or insightful.
Yeah, I think that says my connection is unstable, so that may be as why. When we put a graphic, I'll reset. But yeah. How about this? It didn't start. Okay, so let me reset. I'll come you right back. You talk about the what happened in the game. I'll come right back. I'll reset.
Okay, this is called the game recap Duffer version, and it was so good to see how strong this team was out of the blocks. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better scenario. Immediate power play success, missed opportunity right after that, and then, while on the man advantage, took two penalties to put themselves in a brief 3-on-5 deficit, and ultimately the first goal of the game for Philadelphia becomes a huge talking point. Not because you squandered the power play opportunity and put yourself in that position, but because it was challenged, the challenge did not go their way, and Philadelphia then rolled into a 3-goal in 59-second stretch. And within that, sloppy play, which is unfortunately a phrase that you have heard the coach and or players utter from time to time, did them in this sequence. Whether it was plays behind the net that didn't lead to a proper breakout, or especially in the case of the third goal, Benson's, you know, failed exit from the zone going off Thompson. And then it continued in the second period, even though Buffalo would sustain a pretty prolonged stretch of shots and shot attempts to try to get back in it. The only time they did feel like they were back in it was the Bo Byram goal. And within less than a minute, again, the opposition scores and restores a 3-goal advantage. Now, within that time, it didn't feel like some of the other incidents this year where it was the very next shift. And the only reason that it didn't feel that way is because there was a commercial break in between. But what was, you know, unfortunate for the Sabres was it was the McLeod line that was out there, kind of, you know, made a poor play in their own zone, got stuck there for the faceoff, commercial break. They come out of the commercial break using the same line, and they had multiple, you know, similar plays that resulted in the Flyers taking that 5-2 lead. So you look at this situation, they've lost 3 in a row in Philadelphia, going back to losing both their last year, and they'll obviously see the Flyers at KeyBank Center in just a couple of weeks here. But the biggest talking point is undoubtedly, and it has been for quite a while now, what to do in these, you know, crease situations. Is it goalie interference? Is it not? This was a game-changing moment. And obviously, we can hear from the head coach in this situation because they thought, and part of it is based on the reaction from Colton Ellis, that there might have been goalie interference. Let's hear from Lindy.
And we've had a couple challenges I thought definitely wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. If you don't challenge, you're never going to know. We knew it was going to be a light challenge, but at the same time, I saw goals taken away that were a lot less than that. You know, we felt that his stick got into our goalie's blocker, and whether that was going to be enough or not, you couldn't really tell. It looked like the body was inside the paint, but the skates weren't. And, I mean, he felt he was interfered with, and that's part of my reaction too. If the goalie is that adamant about it, and his reaction says, then something definitely happened to affect him on the save. You know, we took a tough penalty, gave him a short 5-on-3. Penalty killing have been good for us. We failed to clear the puck on the first one. We clear the puck, and that power play's over. Our puck play wasn't as we started the game with poor puck play. It cost us on the third goal. Our puck play cost us on probably three of the goals.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there in the comments from the head
coach. I'm back. Back in full stable.
I'm well aware. I was just going to continue the conversation there. we're trying to dissect the moment. But here's the thing. Like, this is not, they shouldn't have challenged because it ended up causing them three goals against in 59 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're all separate moments, and they all have their very distinct issues to them. And I think before we dive too much into the goaltender interference, it's like the penalties that Thompson and Timmins took that led to that. Like, these are frustrating moments for a team that was trying to build upon the previous two games and take a multi-goal lead early against Ersson and the Flyers. And Ersson, historically, and again last night, has been very good against Buffalo.
It's been good. Not that he had to be excellent, but he was good. So you're right. Like, they were lucky to be up 1-0 on that power play goal, because that power play did not generate anything until that pass to the slot to Zucker, and it's in the back of the net. But there was not really anything threatening from the power play. But you're like, hey, maybe that's the jolt. Like, even Jody Schiller's like, hey, the Sabres started with a power play goal against Winnipeg, and it got him going. So mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe that will get him going. And they get that second power play, and again, that second power play didn't generate anything. And that penalty by Tage was a bad penalty. It was so I felt like there was, if you consider the energy tank, and I'm not saying like, oh, we're tired or whatever, but the amount of energy of electricity you put into the game, like if 100 is the max, I felt like they put 20. Like, that's what it felt like to start the game. Mm-hmm. And Tage on that play, like, it was 15. It was like below that. Like, he grabbed the puck, loses it. I'm going to hook. There's a penalty. You're on the power play after a bad start. And I know Tage took a lot of ownership of what happened after the game, talking about communication and, making better plays and getting some good energy. But that was not something that you would want your leaders to be doing early in the game.
And the Timmins penalty is a play that it has been talked about for decades in the NHL.
Yes.
Because it has the potential to be dangerous when you hit a player on the top of the pants in an awkward position near the boards. It's called 50% of the time, quite frankly. And unfortunately for Buffalo, it got called in that moment.
I was very torn on that call, because for me, there's a difference between a push where you get the guy to go shoulders first, like the body weight going forward, mm-hmm. and a push down just at the back of the pants to just make you kind of jolt backwards a little mm-hmm. bit. And I thought Timmins did that. So I didn't think, to me, that was like, man, that should have been a penalty. Now, you're right. It gets called about, it depends what the look you're seeing from the referee. Like, like, he pushed him going forward or he pushed him going down. Mm-hmm. So after the replays, I was like, they could have let that one go. But you already know you're chasing at that moment. You're the Sabres were chasing the Flyers, you know, and you reach in with a hook. You're going with the cross check. You're going in those. And was the second goal a bad bounce? Yes. Zegras throws it on net, goes off a stick. It's in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're not putting yourself in the right place at that moment. Did the goalie interference challenge like affect at all? It was a part of the whole thing, but I could have seen that game be 3-1 Flyers, even if the Sabres would have won that challenge, because that's the way the game was going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going good for the Sabres at that time.
So would you have challenged or not?
So there was three goalie interference challenge last night in the league, one in the Sabres game, two in the Washington San Jose game. And one was clear. It was going to be a good goal. One was, in my opinion, clear. It shouldn't have counted, and they counted it. And one was in between. And this one, the Buffalo one, to me, was in between. I understand Colt Nellis' reaction when he tries to reach with the blocker, and he can't because of the positioning and the Flyers player there. And he's is there a little contact? Yes. So I understand that. I don't think the league could make those plays goalie interference because you are going to run into a lot more problems if you make that goalie interference. So it was that a good challenge? I'm okay with the challenge because I do think there is contact. I do think the goalie is like, what the, like I couldn't make the save. Did I think it was going to come back? No, I thought it was going to be a good goal. So I'm fine with the challenge. And again, the challenge is not the problem. Your penalty kill's been good. And you know what? How about you put a challenge out to everybody? Hey, you know what? Like it's, we had a chance to go up 2-1. Mm-hmm. It's 1-1, a 2-0, I should say, on the power play. We're sleepy. It's 1-1. We challenged. We didn't get it. Let's go kill a penalty and let's go play some hockey here. Right. And instead it went the other way.
And what preceded the tying goal at one was the unfortunate, you know, turnover by Tuck as he was trying to clear the zone. 8 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. But what actually preceded the fluky goal that put Philadelphia up for good was Ellis had a misplay behind the net. And 30 seconds later, the bad bounce happens. And then you're down 2-1. And then you have the failed clear from Benson off Thompson and not a lot of urgency or communication in the 3 seconds that followed that, which allowed for the backdoor play to make it 3-1. So, but then on
three goals in less than a minute, and all three were preventable. And it's not the goalie interference challenge that would have prevented that. It's what you did on the ice.
And only three shots on goal at the other end for more than the first 15 minutes. And they only ended up with four in the first period, despite having multiple power play opportunities. So it's a game where you can easily just make a blanket statement as to why and when it was lost, but there were many other components, as there often is, to what leads to you not sustaining the success that they had found in the previous two games.
So, again, right, was it a couple of games ago I was talking about you take two steps forward, you take two steps back, a step forward, a step back. Like, it's time to just be able to put five, six, seven steps forward and say we are walking in one direction. And, you know, in the last 10, Sabres are 6-4. Okay, do 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. You're probably going to run out of room and runway because you're not going to get the amount of points and games that you need. So you need 6-2-2. You need 7-3. That's what you need. Yep. And I felt like last night was one of those games that you needed to go and keep walking forward. And if you get a point, but you're playing a good game, that's fine. But when Lindy, after the game, keeps talking about puck plays, like managing the puck. Okay, so the Sabres record right now, as we're speaking, is a game under NHL 500 and 11-12-4. In those 12, and let's call them 16 losses, what do you think? 90%? Like, in the 16 losses, 12, 13 of them, then the refs play after those games? Like, it's becoming pretty obvious. Like, there's simple ways to play the game, straight up and down. And I felt like mentally these mistakes happen. Penalties, yeah. Mistakes, frustration mistakes, puck play mistakes, they all happen in that same game. And that's frustrating because it was so good against Winnipeg. So good against Winnipeg on Monday.
But what did you ask me after that?
What did I ask you after that? What's the who was fast? Was the Sabres that fast or were Winnipeg that slow?
It's always a combination, right? But Philly looked like the more, I don't know. They just look in the Eastern Conference right now in the last 10. Washington's 9-1, Tampa's 8-2, and Philly's 7-3. Those are your three best teams. So whatever your perception of the Flyers is, which I tried to say yesterday, like they're a good team. And if you start gift wrapping things like this, it's going to be a long night. And it ended up being a long night because I didn't like their third period, unfortunately. They didn't have like a major pushback in that third period. And normally you would see a little bit of a score effect situation, right?
An onslaught, you would, and it almost happened, but it was a clear offside, and I have no idea why the Flyers took a timeout to look at more video to challenge it. Like, they made the right decision, angle, but so. It was a clear offside, so there was a little bit of a push, but it didn't matter. Even that goal going in, I didn't see
like,
the energy and the push that the Sabres needed to have. And it's game one of six on the road. Like, maybe the next five will be different and we'll chalk it up. But I can't chalk it up to, like, hey, it's one of those games. Like, if you were 7-2 in the last nine and then you end up 7-3 and you say, let's put it aside. Like, it just was a bad game. But you can't do that now.
There's two things to take away that we have to discuss. Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour. The Dahlin major penalty and the potential for any lasting effect, i.e. more discipline. But just how you viewed it and the takeaway moving forward.
So how I viewed it was Rasmus has had frustration moment in his career and those type of games where you know, he plays on the edge and over the edge and can be dirty. And, you know, the guys on TNT said that's a dirty play. I would call him a sneaky dirty play where he gave the shot right to Zegras. I didn't think it was as forceful as maybe some thought it would be. I thought he gave him a push in the back of the numbers. Mm-hmm. But Zegras went into the boards with somewhat force and sold it a little bit. He played the rest of the game. He came back.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Brian Boucher said it right. He said, I didn't think it was a five, but I also don't think it's a two. So there's no happy middle. Like, you can't give a 4-minute penalty. There's not a double minor penalty for those plays. It's not in the rule book. So the refs and the league are going to say, well, you know what? That's a five. Do I think there's a fine and a suspension coming? Personally, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it was a five, but I also didn't think it was a two. So, but you probably err on the side of cautious and you go with the five in that situation.
So I won't ask you who starts tomorrow, but I will discuss goaltending with you. So now what do you do? We did talk about Ellis on Saturday in the win over Minnesota. He, you know, rightfully, I think, because he's an honest kid, you know, talked about how that game ended. He didn't think he was great in the shootout, but they won. And you described him as doing everything possible, not always technically perfect in that game, to just try to, you know, battle through and give his team a chance, which he did. But then he didn't get the next start, but then he was back in last night. So where's Ellis at? But where are the three of them at as we now see the central and western portion remaining five of this six-game trip?
So this is where the challenge is for a coaching staff and knowing you've got three and if you want to use three. Like, I've been in three goalie situations, and most of my three goalie situations were we have a number one, we have a number two, and the third guy, sorry, you're a practice guy. You're not playing, and you're not part of the equation. We're not going to make the schedule thinking you're playing a game. But right now, all three goalies are part of the schedule of playing a game. Like, if you had two goalies, if it was Luukkonen and Ellis, for example, okay, Luukkonen would go Friday, and Luukkonen would probably go Monday against Calgary, and then you'd play Ellis against the Oilers on Tuesday, and you're like, okay, well, you know what? That was a bad one, but we're going to get you back in. We have a back-to-back coming up. But because you have three, and if you looked at the schedule, well, Luukkonen would probably go Friday, And then, depending on how that goes, you're probably going to go Luukkonen again, because now he's the one that's had the best results of late. Mm-hmm. And then you're probably going Lion against the Oilers. And then you're probably coming back Luukkonen against Vancouver. And then, so all of a sudden you're like, okay, well now I'm losing Colton Ellis. He won't play for 2 weeks after this game against the Flyers. And, you know, so that's what is tough right now. You need to win games. And yeah, despite the fact that all three goalies are basically an 890 or 895, 899 save percentage, mm-hmm. There's a big difference in goals against average when you look at Luukkonen. And of late, he's been the steadier of the three. So you almost have to give him the bulk of the games like a number one, and then figure out the other two are going to get the leftovers. Like, and probably right now it's Lion getting the first shot at leftovers, and Ellis, well, you wait.
Lions 899, Luukkonen 899, Ellis 892. Team save percentage is 20th at 887. Tongue in cheek here. Is there a snowball's chance that Lion sees the bulk of the games here?
No. I see what you're saying, snowball, because there was a moment that in the second period yesterday where the referee removed as the TNT broadcast said, a snowman's head size snowball off the side of the net. Back in the days, Duffer, I was so notorious for it. The referees hated me for it. I would go get snow behind the net and I would put it on side of the net because of the wraparounds plays and the pass from behind, like the snow would affect it. Mm-hmm. And they used to come in and use their skate and remove the skate off the side of the net and throw it behind the net. And I would go get it again and put it on the side. What are they going to do? You can't do that. We'll give you a penalty. No, there's nothing they can do. Now they scrape the ice three times a period, mm-hmm. and they clean everything around the net. They do the whole ice. You don't have the snow effect that you used to. I was so like, what? Like, I've not seen a snowball that size on the ice in forever. And I don't even remember if the snowballs were that big when I played, despite the fact they didn't scrape the ice. So I was very like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. You know what it had to be? It had to have been where they did the cleaning of the ice in the previous commercial break. Mm-hmm. And they, as they were scooping, they must have left a chunk somewhere around the net. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could see that happening. And they forgot it.
International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame, class of 2026. The inductees were named yesterday. There are two Sabre connections. Appropriately, number 26 in 26, Thomas Vanek will be going in to the International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame. So too will Ralph Krueger.
Oh, okay. When you think about the IIHF and, you know, the global hockey impact and so I can see how Thomas Vanek,
he's the second Austrian player ever to be inducted.
But I can see how he would be, something that the Austrian Ice Hockey Federation would really push for, saying, hey, listen, look at what this guy has done and how it's helped grow the game for us in Austria and everything. I'm a little surprised about Ralph Krueger, but whatever. No.
I think you shouldn't say you're surprised. You watched the rise of Switzerland for years, and it was always Krueger behind the bench. Like, the whole soccer thing that preceded Ralph being in Buffalo didn't matter to me because I knew about his legacy in the game as a guy that was able to take underdog teams in Switzerland and be able to match them up against clearly superior talents, right? So
But I, you know what I saw in Switzerland for years? And I went to Switzerland and worked at Francois Allaire's hockey school, mm-hmm. a goalie school in Switzerland, is goaltending. And if there is one person that had an impact in goaltending in the country of Switzerland, it was Francois Allaire, Benny Allaire's brother. Like, Benny is the goalie coach in New York, one of the goalie guru, but I went to Verbier in the Swiss Alps, and we were there for 3 weeks in the summer, and the amount of goalies and good goalies, the David Abisher and the Martin Gerbers and those guys, like, that to me, maybe I'm biased in the Swiss hockey thing. I said, the reason why Switzerland was always good at the international level is because they'd always have good goaltending. Mm-hmm. And the person that did that was Francois Allaire. So I, that's how I see it. But you're right. You know, but was it Patrice Bergeron also going in? Cassie Campbell-Pascal going in. So yeah. there's some big names that are going to WIHF Hall of Fame.
Big names around the National Hockey League last night, dazzled and disturbed. Dazzled again. Well, let me say this. Do I look more well-rested than normal? The answer is obviously no, because it doesn't matter when I go
no,
to bed.
No, I thought about you last night when I went to bed, because those late games were so bad. I'm like, Duffer will probably go to bed early.
I went to bed early, not because I get more sleep, just because I was really frustrated with what I was watching last night. But I will say this. I already knew of Ovechkin's success once again last night. Marty, the Capitals have won 6 in a row. Ovi has 14 goals. Yeah. He's 40 years old. He's again on pace for 41. He had 44 last year. Why am I still almost shocked that this continues? Like this, he's 3 goals away from like being in the top 5 again in league scoring.
So now, for you know how TV, radio works, you've been in the business for a long time. So this summer, free agent frenzy, I'm at TSN, and we're doing an Ovechkin little something. And our you know, boss at TSN, Steve Dryden, the hockey, the TSN quizmaster, and he's semi-retired, but he's always around. He's like, Marty, 40 and 40, 40 at 40 for Ovechkin. Do you believe it? I'm like, nah, I think 25. I think that's what he's going to get. He goes, I need you to make an argument that you believe it. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, because I'm going to everybody and nobody believes it, but I want this in the show. So I need you to believe it. So I'm like, okay, I'll make the argument. 40 at 40 for Ovechkin. I'm all in. And so he calls me last week. He goes, hey, you were the 40 at 40 guy, right? I'm like, yeah, but I didn't believe it. So, yeah, so I was the one on record that said, yes, Ovechkin, 40 at 40. But I didn't believe it. And now, like, yeah, it's not the vintage Ovechkin, but he's finding other ways to score, like around the net and on rebounds and on backhands from the side, like his 900. It's like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Big night for Washington. Terrible nights on home ice for NoCal and SoCal, as the Sharks and Ducks both got wiped respectively last night on home ice.
14-1 in California for the visitors last night.
On the heels of the Kings losing on home ice the night before, because that's all they seem to do this year at Crypto. But much more around the NHL with Darren Dreger coming up. We want you to become a Holiday Angel in support of local families this holiday season. It's presented by AMR. Holiday Angels let you purchase gift cards, donate wrapping supplies. Donations of all kinds matter and make a big difference. So learn more at sabres.com/holiday angels. I don't think we've dubbed Darren that in the course of our time together, but why not? Our holiday angel from TSN, Darren Dreger, is next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
About a month and a half away from Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity event. It's presented by the New Era Cap Foundation, and we are so glad it is back again. We want you to join us at Babeville on Friday, January 16th. This fun, fashion-forward event featuring a terrific lineup of appearances from Ryan's 05-06 teammates, live set from the Strictly Hip, open bar, and more. Visit sabres.com/catwalk. to purchase yours today. Darren Dreger's coming in hot as we roll along here. Our hockey insider from TSN is booking, canceling, rebooking, canceling his February travel plans. Is that correct? What is going on Olympic-wise, Dreger?
Well, just to clarify, I was never going. At least in my mind, I thought I was going early in the summer, but evidently I didn't make the cut. So I'm not going. It's a sore spot. We won't get into it here.
How about the parking? Do you still, did you get your parking spot back?
No. There is no longer assigned parking. That, too, is a bit of a sticking point. But, again, the segment isn't about any of that. It's not about my selfishness. It feels like we've got a weekly update on the Olympics, and it cuts two ways. It's either about Team USA and the players that they're considering, Team Canada, the players that they're considering, or, you know, the speculation on who should or shouldn't be on the team, all of that. Or we're updating the Olympic venues. And the latest is, and Pete DeBoer, you know, is part of the Canadian staff, kind of dropped a, I wouldn't call it a bomb, but significant information on Toronto radio when he said that it's actually not NHL standard ice surface dimensions. It's close to 4 feet shorter. All right. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, there's an agreement that includes the NHL, the Players Association. I'm sure the IOC, but evidently the IOC and the IIHF signed off on this a while back. And just to give people some perspective, the Global Series, which we just saw in Sweden, right, between the Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. All right. Well, I guess the dimensions that they're using in Milan are the same as what the Penguins and the Preds played on in Sweden. So, okay. I mean, NHL players can and will adjust. But I think what happened then is it got everybody diving into different directions here. How big of a deal is this? And then you find out that inevitably the construction delays and the issues that seem to have been dragging on now for months and months and months are still significant to a point. And let me just back up a second here, because I got the sense in poking around the length of the ice and the fact that it's just over 3 feet short. I started poking around that, and the information I got from head office of the National Hockey League is, well, that can't be accurate, or we're unaware of it. So it is accurate, but they were unaware of it. And I think that obviously annoyed head office, and I can appreciate that. So now you fast forward to the construction delays and the issues there. And I think so when you see the quote that Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly gave to Matt Larkin of Daily Faceoff late yesterday, I saw it early yesterday evening, where he essentially says, if the venues of the building isn't ready, the NHL isn't going. All right. Okay. Well, that's a fairly threatening comment. I would say that in following up on it this morning, the full expectation by the league and the Players Association, and certainly the IOC, is that the venue will be ready for a test event in January. Now, that's not to say that there aren't concerns. Of course there are concerns, and there is the threat that it won't be ready. And then the league and the Players Association have to make a decision they don't want to make. So it's not fear-mongering, but it's not much ado about nothing either. So it's an ongoing developing story.
Greg, so we're focusing on the main building, obviously, for the events, but there's also a secondary building that will have other games. Like, you can't just play all these games in the main building. And I saw some video circulating, and it literally looks like they put a building with four walls, and it's like, no disrespect to your local neighborhood, like, very cold rink that has metal walls everywhere, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it just looks bad to say we're going back to the Olympics for the NHL for the first time since Sochi, and that's what is going to be the place where we're going to play games.
Well, the reality is you're not going to have the creature comforts that any hockey fan is accustomed to in most buildings, college buildings, major junior hockey buildings in North America. You're just not going to have that as a fan. And there are going to be some things, some of the creature comforts that NHL players now take for granted, they're not going to have. I don't have the specifics on what that means from one extreme to another, but I also don't get pushback, and I don't get the sense from talking to players, their agents, or the PA, that any of them are going to wagging a finger going, hold on a minute here. You know, if I don't have the exact dietary needs the minute I get off the ice like I do in the National Hockey League, I'm not coming. I mean, that's being ridiculous. I think that the player's focus is where it should be, and that's on doing whatever he can do to make sure that he's not only in the conversation, but he's a lock on that team. But you're right. I saw those same videos, and maybe we put the Olympic stage at a different level in terms of what our expectations of what those buildings should look like. Because the videos that I saw, even the main building is underwhelming in terms of the capacity and what it looks like. But again, we're making comparisons to some of the fantastic college arenas in North America, American Hockey League venues, major junior hockey. I mean, maybe that's an unfair comparison.
Maybe, but I mean, you rewind like 23 years at this point to Salt Lake City. And I remember a lot of people thinking that it was small-ish, but still, like, I feel like comparatively, like, you wish that building already existed right now and was ready for this 2026 Olympics, right?
Yeah. I hear you. And look, I'm sure the National Hockey League feels, because again, let's remind ourselves in this conversation of how long it took for the NHL and the Players Association to reach the agreement in the first place. First, for those two sides to come together and recognize the value and the importance of getting NHL players back on the Olympic stage. I can assure you, if you did a poll of NHL owners, the vast majority would not support going back to the Olympics, just because, you know, the shutdown, the wear and tear on the players, the teams now, the risk of injury, both now and at those games and everything else. But you get through all that because you do recognize that there is value in a global identity. And it's a wonderful platform for all of that. But why isn't it ready? And why isn't it up to standard? And so, you know, if there's an annoyance, you know, the head office of the NHL and head office of the Players Association, I can assure you, when you're getting quotes like the one we read from Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly in Daily Faceoff, you can imagine what is being sent to the IOC and to the organizers and the builders and whatnot in Italy. By the way, just to wrap it up, they do have, and this is the NHLPA and the NHL, have a Zoom call organized, which is a normal practice. But their next one is tomorrow, being Friday. So perhaps they'll light a fire under that group yet one more time.
When you talk about the rosters, so you got Connor Bedard, who's on fire. You got Macklin Celebrini, who's on fire. I have a guy like Morgan Geeky, who could be considered on that team. Like,
right.
Are they stressing right now? If you were to pull the Team Canada, Pete DeBoer, and everybody, like the guys that put the team together, are they stressing because of the amount of talent and maybe the conversation they may have with some agents and some players that say, sorry, bud, you're not going? Or yeah. Are they going to stick more to what their team looked like last year at the Four Nations faceoff?
Well, unless there's a change of heart and position, I think that, you know, they're going to look at the success that they had at the Four Nations and, you know, the impactful players. And there were a lot of them on both Team Canada and Team USA that deserve the right to be recognized internationally one more time. And, you know, from a Canadian perspective, why tinker with success? Now, you know, you can build a case individually with some players who maybe aren't having the year that they needed to have to one more time get called to represent the country. You know, we're talking about Tom Wilson. What a year he's having with the Washington Capitals. And if there's a pang of regret for not taking him at the Four Nations, it only comes in the fact that, okay, well, there was some tough stuff and some shenanigans that went on between Team USA and Team Canada. Mm-hmm. But Tom Wilson was in the conversation with the Four Nations. So when you they're not going to fight at the Olympics, but you can be certain that there is going to be aggression and there is going to be good, hard physical hockey between Canada and the United States. So what more can Tom Wilson do as an example to make Team Canada? Mm-hmm. For me, he'd be on. He'd be on. And you mentioned Bedard. I think that the way Canada looks at Bedard is it's wonderful that he's scoring his way into the conversation. But then you look at the underlying defensive numbers and it's not great. It's not. So Connor Bedard at his age with his level of inexperience compared to another player isn't playing in Canada's top six, probably not top nine. So if he's a fourth line player, what is he doing? Is he capable of defending? Is he a penalty kill guy? Like, I mean, you know, you could also make the case that he's played himself into a position where if he doesn't play a game at the Olympics, other than, you know, one of the games where Canada should win handily, what's wrong with that level of experience? And then look, somebody gets hurt in the top six, and now all of a sudden you've got that option. So I don't think that Canada or the U.S. are stressing about these decisions. I think, frankly, they're looking at it and going, what a good problem to have.
Yeah.
That maybe players we weren't expecting to be in this conversation at this stage absolutely are.
Injuries, of course, a huge concern for the nations who will be in the Olympics, but it's dramatically impactful to the teams that are trying to get through an 82-game season right now.
Yeah.
And many have been crushed, and Dallas got some more bad news this week.
Terrible.
So what do they do with Tyler Seguin's injury, and does that make them a player, if they put him on season-ending long-term, to actually fill that void and actively, I mean, my goodness, they picked up Rantanen last year.
Like, oh, yeah.
Could they be adding another big name now because of Seguin's situation?
An absolute tap-in for me that they do this. An absolute tap-in because Tom Gilardi, the owner of the Dallas Stars, man, he's as hungry as anyone out there in that ownership pool. He gives Jim Neal and hockey operations all the resources needed to do what they need to do. And Jimmy Neal is wily. He is wily. And most importantly, Dallas is a destination of choice. Mm-hmm. So, you look, there's so many scenarios that could unfold between now and the trade deadline. And think of it like, you know, there are teams that are in a pickle when they look at the players that they'd consider trading, but these are players that have trade protection, be it a no trade clause or a no move clause. Well, obviously, that gets very, very problematic. I mean, it put the Toronto Maple Leafs right in the juice at the trade deadline last year, obviously with Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that if Maple Leafs management had gone to Marner earlier and said, hey, we have an opportunity to trade you to the Vegas Golden Knights. Would you consider this? He'd have said, yeah. He'd have said, yeah, because it's a destination of choice. And that's what the Dallas Stars are. So, you know, it still gets complicated. You got to make the money work. And by the way, there's a clarification that's required there because the CBA has changed, right? So it's not like when these guys go down, you know, you use all of that money and then they magically appear in the playoffs and you're good to go. No, the only way you use the entirety of that money is if that player, in this case, Tyler Seguin, is done for the year, playoffs included. And that seems more likely than not specific to Seguin.
One of the questions, Sabres topic we had early in the show was Dahlin getting a 5 minute yesterday for, you know, boarding Trevor Zegras. I didn't anticipate any supplemental discipline in the call. Zegras played the rest of the game. But we're seeing a lot of those situations. We saw Rantanen against Romanov, where Romanov is out. Like, is the league needed to maybe have a refresher course with the players when it comes to, you know, 5 feet from the boards and in those situations?
Yeah, and only invite the top end guys, right? Because it, you know, those are the guys that seemingly are causing the difficulties here. No, I don't think so. And it's funny because after Rantanen went through his second, you know, and then ultimately because he had the two game misconducts in less than 41 days, you know, he was suspended for the one game. You know, I asked the player safety department, I mean, would George Parros pick up the phone, call Mikko Rantanen and go, bud, you know, you're suspended by the rule book, but you got to stop this nonsense or we're going to have no choice. But, and then no, like, I mean, you do measure the body of the work and historically Rantanen is not that.
But Rantanen isn't that dirty, but Dahlin has had some moments in his career. Yeah. Like you're like, call him and say, be careful, bud.
Yeah. But look at, again, this is why, and we've got the Board of Governors meetings coming up early next week in Colorado Springs. And I don't think, you know, we'll get invited into the officiating presentation for that. Normally it's around the GMs, but they bring the media in and then they show us ample video evidence of, you know, some of the things they're looking at, that they're trending, tweaks that they might consider, all of that kind of stuff. The one thing that I like, one of the more recent ads, is the ability for the officials to call that major penalty and then review it. Mm-hmm. All right, did we get it right or did we get it wrong? And if they uphold, then good on them, because we're all officiating geniuses, right? Mm-hmm. On the non-reviewable plays where the officials see it in the blink of an eye, they make the call and then they've got to live with it forever. Who liked that play by Rasmus Dahlin on Trevor Zegras? Nobody.
Nobody.
Right. Including him. You know, I mean, he didn't, in the moment he thought that it was an overreaction, I'm sure. Yeah. By NHL officiating, but that's a boarding major. Dredge. And subsequent game.
We got to fly. Thanks so much for the insight.
It's my fault.
No. And as we fly, don't forget to hit sabres.com/5050 because it's the Sabres Give 716 Holiday Raffle. Huge jackpot, secondary prizes, all presented by Northtown Automotive. Again, it runs through December 27th.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Sabres.com/5050. Back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy birthday to former Sabres Phil Varone and Jeremy Davies, whose net worth combined sadly does not compare with Tom Dundon in Carolina. And Dundon, of course, is interested in the NBA and is going through with that. Now he wants to sell a little bit of the Hurricanes, a franchise that is apparently valued at $2 billion. What do you think of that?
I think that franchises have gone up, right? And Carolina is a great, great franchise. Like, it's the only pro franchise in Raleigh. And so they have the market to themselves. And look, Tom Dundon, to give up a small minority part of his Carolina Hurricanes, that's because he needs that $500 million to put into the Trailblazer, because he's the type of owner that wants to control. So he needed that, obviously.
Allow me to say this. I feel like you are far more stable at the end of the show than you were at the start.
Thank you. Here's
to that again tomorrow. We'll see you then.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.